This episode of Talks About Tech Weekly is brought to you by ProXPN. Go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code TATWEE for 20% off. Hello and welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly. On this show, we like to talk about everything technology. Coming up on today's show, Xbox One changes and the Tesla Model S. Hello, you're very welcome back to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. This is episode 70 today, recorded on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Very welcome to the show. I am your host, Michael McAndrew, and as always, I am joined by someone with a camera that works. It was a quick joke, you know, we were having many issues as always, trying to get the show going, and Kevin's camera stopped working, so we, 10 minutes later, 10 minutes later than normal on the live stream,
yeah.
We are live streaming, of course, over at live.talksabouttech.com, and if you're on the live stream, you know how many takes there have been. Many, many takes. But Kevin McAndrew, you're joined here, as always, for another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a great episode. There's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. And might as well kick it off with a good old gaming story. Xbox One is back. I thought I was finished reporting on Xbox One for a while. But no, Xbox One is back. There are Xbox One changes, Kevin. What kind of changes have been made to Xbox One?
Probably the biggest change for the Xbox One is the internet connection, because you had to have your Xbox One plugged into the internet even if you weren't using like games, like if you were using offline games.
Right.
So people were really giving out about this, and
yeah,
and that was probably one of the biggest things, and they've gotten rid of that.
Okay.
And also,
so there's no internet connection needed at all.
No. Only when you're downloading the game.
Of course. But yeah. There's also a... They also said that there's an internet connection needed on the setup as
of
well.
To
register the console.
But you don't have to have it plugged in any time after
that. There's no 24-hour thing that they were doing. There's no 30-day thing that they're doing. It's all just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So you can be offline. Okay. That's very good.
And also, another huge thing... Now, there are no restrictions on second-hand games, which is brilliant.
That is, yeah, that's great. That's the other change that they made. They decided that they're not going to put any restrictions on used games. You can trade, you can rent, you can pass them on to other friends. You can do whatever you want with the game. Once you buy the disc, the physical copy of the game, you own it. You can do whatever you want. Now, with a digital download version of the game, you can't. It's you're limited to that one console, and you can't obviously distribute it. But if you buy a physical copy of the game, you can do whatever you want with the copy. And you know, I saw this tweet from Paul Thurrott. He's a Windows and Microsoft journalist, and he has a fantastic website, winsupersite.com. And he put out this really interesting tweet. He said the tweet said basically Xbox One team to users, and this is a message from the Xbox One team. We wanted to make it awesome, but apparently you wanted a PS4 with an Xbox logo on it. Enjoy. So that's basically what they said. And because, well, I mean, they're quite similar consoles, hardware wise, software wise. I think they do be different in a lot of ways, but they're saying that. But I don't understand this, because the restrictions on used games and also the internet connection required thing, they're not good things. They're not features. Yeah. So they were trying to differentiate themselves from the PlayStation by making it impossible to, or putting a fee on used games and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting. But a great tweet from Paul Thurrott. So what's your opinion on this, Kevin? Do you think this is going to actually change people's opinions now?
Well, PlayStation, when they were announcing it at E3 and showing all the things, They're like, and there's no restrictions on used games. And everyone was like,
yeah,
thank God, you know.
So, yeah. So, basically, what happened was the Xbox event was in the morning. So, this gave time for Microsoft to kind of, or to, for Sony to kind of, you know, make fun of Microsoft, basically. So, Microsoft said, you know, we're putting in these restrictions in used games. We're making it offline, or offline. The console has to be online every 24 hours and all that. And then Sony came around and said, yeah, we're not going to do any of that. So, anyway, sorry, continue.
But I think it was kind of ridiculous how they had you had to have your Xbox One plugged into the internet at all times.
Even when playing an offline game.
Yeah, well, it's understandable if you have to plug it in, like, at setup. But any time after that, you shouldn't have to. Well, if you're downloading games or whatever, or if you need to put in the internet. But you know how they're like checking up on the Xbox Ones and things that they were saying they were going to do that?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's pretty, it's good that that's gone, those restrictions.
So yeah, it's good. But I don't think it will, I mean.
Like, we were talking about the used game market and how this, it could plummet, you know? Especially, you know, in Ireland and things, because the used game market is still up and running.
Well, yeah, but I think that more people are just going to be digitally downloading games now anyway.
Yeah, but...
because internet connections are getting better. But what I think here with the no internet connection needed to play the offline, or the, to play offline games, this, I think, is very important. I think that is extremely important. And I think that that will definitely make a change to the amount of people interested. Although it might be a little bit, a few people, you know, because most people are online. It might be a very small kind of a market of people. I still think it'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
But in terms of the restrictions on used games, I think people were just angry because it's a little bit, it's, you know, Microsoft just wanting a little bit of the money coming out of the used games market.
Yeah.
That they just wanted in a little bit of it. I don't think they actually mind the restrictions on used games. It was just the fact that Microsoft was trying to get in a little bit of money on that, on the, on used games, you know, on the used games market. But there you go. Quick changes, from, on the Xbox One side. It's very, very interesting how Microsoft actually, you okay there, Kevin?
Yeah.
Is there something weird with the headphones?
Yeah.
Does
that's
that. All right. So many issues on this episode. But anyway, so the thing is, so it's very strange for a company to make their decision on what way they're going and then just change it. It's very strange. They must have been getting quite low numbers on the pre-orders.
Yeah.
And that's obviously why they put in the day one edition as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was quite interesting. They said, oh yes, well, we were listening to feedback. Well, I think this is a bit of a stab at Sony as well. It's like killing two birds with one stone, you know, the consumers as well as getting back at Sony. But you know, it's interesting. I won't dwell too much because we already went into huge detail about the Xbox One last week. So I want to go on to Instagram video, Kevin.
Yeah.
What is that?
Instagram, as you all know, you can share pictures and different things, and it's been recently bought by Facebook.
Yes.
And Instagram have now come out with Instagram Video, which is very similar to an application that you might know as Vine. And just to tell you about Vine, if you don't know what it is, it's similar to Instagram. However, you can only post videos, and there's a time limit on it, and all this.
Yeah.
So.
So Vine is like 6 second videos.
Yeah, 6 second videos.
Yeah.
So Instagram Video has come out and has 15 second videos and has all these tools like image stabilization and
So
all
it's,
these different things.
It's basically the exact same thing as Vine, except it's 15 second videos.
Yeah. And there's all these other things in Instagram Video, but, you know, they're pretty much identical. unless you prefer one of the brands, if you use Vine yourself and you really like it, or and if you like the interface, or if you love Instagram, like pictures and things, and then you use the video because of that. So, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. Instagram is compatible with Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, email, Foursquare, and also Flickr, whereas Vine
is only compatible with Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at this, and I saw Vine, and I saw like a load of people actually starting to use Vine now. The whole idea is that it's like a tweet. A tweet is limited to 250 characters. It's quick and crisp and, you know, snappy, and it's really easy to read, and you can get through lots of tweets. And the whole point is that it's very easy for someone to just read a quick tweet. 150 characters, very easy to read, very quickly, in literally seconds. So the whole idea with Vine, and by the way, Vine is a Twitter company. So Twitter owned them.
Twitter owned Vine.
Yeah. So the whole idea with Vine was that you could create like a 6-second video, very similar to like a 150 character tweet, except it's in video form. And so you could show something. It loops as well. It loops over and over, basically, the little video, the 6-second video. And a lot of people have been getting into this. I've never used Vine, though. Me, personally, I've never used Vine. I've seen, like, what people do is they send the Vine videos and tweets and all that. And, you know, it's cool. It's cool. I haven't been finding too much of a use for it yet. But I suppose I could see myself using it a little bit. It's a cool idea. So what do you think of the idea, at least, Kevin? Do you think it's a good idea? Or
Because
but you're not really a social person, as in you don't really use social networks.
No, I don't use social networks that much. But I think it brings more of a personal aspect to it, because instead of just typing something out, you know, anyone could just type it out, but you're actually talking to them in a video.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, it mightn't be you talking, but let's say it is. It's more kind of a personal view.
Yeah.
And also, you get more of a sense, like, you can't exactly use sarcasm while you're typing. Yeah. So.
Right. Whereas you can kind of convey more. You can do more visual stuff. Yeah. You can. There's a lot more stuff that you can. I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages to text, mm-hmm. just as there are advantages and disadvantages to video. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But maybe you could do audio. That would be cool. Like a 5-second audio clip.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I like that. Because your voice is in there and talking and all that. So, what about Instagram video now? I'm looking at Instagram video and I'm saying it's exactly the same as Vine.
Yeah. Like the mobile application, I looked at it and it's simply, okay, Vine is sort of more of a green application and then Instagram is more kind of brown and things. And the buttons are in pretty much exactly the same place. There's like slight differences. Maybe there might be an extra button here, but every button is pretty much in exactly the same place.
Yeah. So and it's exactly the same as Vine, right? So if you don't know Instagram, by the way, they're famous for photos and photo filters and being able to just post a photo up to Instagram. It's its own social network, basically, but you can also share it on other social networks such as Twitter and Facebook, and you can basically just show whatever photos you want. For example, if I was at a place and I just wanted to send a tweet about it, and I wanted to show the photo of where I was, I could post it up to Instagram, so it would go out on my Instagram account, and it would also go out on my Twitter, as well as my Facebook, if I had one. Now they're integrating video. It's exactly the same as Vine, except it's, if you already use Instagram, you can, and you also use Vine, you can just have Instagram video in the same application. Mm-hmm. But I think what Instagram, the advantage that Instagram has in this case is Instagram, basically. Yeah. That's, you know, it might sound a little bit weird, but that is the advantage that they have. Whereas Vine was a startup company, you know, starting out from scratch with this idea. And Instagram just became huge as photos. And then they say, yeah, by the way, Vine, yeah, we're going to steal your idea. or we're going to take that idea and we're going to integrate it into our product. And now I've been seeing, like, I don't use Instagram and I don't use Vine, but I'm seeing a lot of people moving from people who had used Vine, they're moving over to Instagram now. Instagram video. Very, very interesting. And one really cool stat about this is that I think 5 million videos were uploaded in the first 24 hours, which is absolutely incredible. So obviously there's a lot of people moving over to Instagram video. Yeah, there are extra features that Vine doesn't have right now, like longer limit. I don't know if that's an advantage or a disadvantage, because 15 seconds might be too long, but I suppose you can customize the length. You can say when to cut it off. And
I guess with 6 seconds, though, you're not going to be waiting 15 seconds for a video to be over. And if you just want to go through a whole sort of list of Vine sort of posts, then you can just like look at one, look at the other. And you can essentially look at almost 3 in the time you can take to look at one in Instagram video. So I guess that also kind of puts restrictions on, you know, it brings more of a sort of, how would I say, uniform almost kind of look to Vine, because it's short, nice short videos instead of these longer 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, Instagram is still, it's 15 seconds. So still short.
Yeah, it's,
you know, yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I think I would prefer the 15 second, just because I know, like, with Vine, you might be rushing to get whatever what you want to say in. Whereas with Instagram, you know, you've got 15 seconds, so you mightn't be as you mightn't feel like you're forced into rushing stuff.
Yeah,
you know? But you can still, you know, stop the video or whatever. So the other thing with Instagram, of course, with Instagram video, is its integration with not only just Facebook and Twitter, but Tumblr. You can email the stuff, Foursquare, don't know how that'll work, and Flickr. So do you think that's an advantage? I mean, because
if you use those applications,
I'm looking at Tumblr, email, Foursquare, and Flickr there. They don't really seem like the kind of, well, email isn't even that, it's not a social network as such, but they don't really seem like places that you would kind of upload one of these videos to. I think the main two is like Facebook and Twitter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But because Instagram is Instagram, I think that more people are moving over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at a post though, and they were saying that Vine might attract people who have they like a challenge.
Right.
For example, with Instagram video, you get all these things like image stabilization and all these other filters and everything. So it's just quick to make a nice video.
Mm-hmm.
However, with Vine,
So with Instagram, you have filters.
Yeah.
Really? So you can put filters on the videos.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you have all these things, but then with Vine, then you don't have all those. So it gives more of a challenge to make a nice kind of video of something, like, for example, a lake in an afternoon or something. And it gives you more of a challenge just to get that nice sort of video or, you know, whatever you want. But at the same time, you don't have to use any of those tools in Instagram video, so...
So it's basically like Vine on steroids.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. It's, you know, if you're interested, you can check it out, as of course Instagram now is supporting video. Okay, I want to move on to the Surface Tablet pricing, educational pricing, Kevin. And so the Surface, now this is the Surface RT tablet, by the way. Educational pricing. This is a very, very interesting story. The Surface RT came out at the launch of Windows RT and Windows 8 back at the end of last year. And I have not personally tried this tablet out. I haven't really found it. I mean, it came out, I think, January, February in Ireland. So it's actually a relatively new tablet in Ireland. I mean, it was the release was very, very late. They were just bringing it out in the US and UK and a few other countries. So it only kind of recently came to Ireland. I haven't seen one. But they haven't, apparently they haven't been too popular. But this may or may not change the popularity of this tablet. The education pricing has been announced, and starting in August, people in education, such as secondary schools, colleges, and by the way, it will they will give you the educational discount if you're in a secondary school in Ireland. You can get the educational discount. The educational pricing will start at $199, $200 for the Surface tablet. Now, the retail pricing for the Surface tablet is $499. So there's a $200 price difference here.
Yeah.
Between the educational pricing and the retail pricing. Now,
$300.
No, it's $200. Sorry.
Yeah, $300.
Sorry, $300. Okay, sorry, I've mixed up because they got the $199 and the $499. It's like, what is that? I looked at the $499. I thought it was $400. And then the pricing, if you want the touch, now that's just the standard, I think it's 32 gigabyte model. If you want it with a touch keyboard, it's $249, so $250. And if you want it with a type keyboard, which is actually a physical keyboard, rather than just a touchscreen one, it's $289, $290. That pricing is extremely aggressive, Kim.
Yeah, it is.
It's a pretty good price.
Then with iPads, you know, how much would they be with educational pricing? I doubt they'd be as much as these Windows Surface tablets.
No, there's no way that they're anywhere close to... Yeah. Let me get this up. But so, Kevin, what's your opinion on this whole pricing that's out there right now in terms of this educational pricing?
I definitely think it'll boost Windows sales, because these are great discounts for the Surface tablet, because it's pretty much an iPad that's sort of Windows style.
Oh, so the one thing with the iPad is you can't get the educational discount on iPads or iPhones.
Can't.
No, it's only on Macs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's so sorry. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So, I guess schools can get a load of these things and stuff with... they can buy it in bulk.
I suppose the educational version of the iPad is the iPad Mini, because it's €340.
Yeah, but they can buy it. Schools can get a discount. Yeah, because if they buy it in bulk for education,
If you buy in bulk, you're going to get a discount anyway.
Yeah, but you can get these educational kits. You get like MacBooks and iPads and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so this is great for the single person. If they just want, or if there's a school and they're starting up, okay, you have to get a tablet or whatever. This is great because it's only $200.
And it's minimum. Microsoft.
And it's Microsoft. So it's going to be something. You know, all those things.
Which is kind of funny because you can't. The thing with the RT is that it's Windows RT, so you can't install x86 programs. So you can't install, for example, you can't go to google.com and install Google Chrome on it for Windows because it won't work. You have to get stuff through their App Store.
Yeah.
Which is because it's an ARM-based processor that's in it. So it's a different architecture, different operating system, which is a little bit of a disadvantage. But that's why it's such a low price. The Surface Pro is like $1,000, and that's the x86 version. It's got like Core i5 and Core i7 processors in it.
Yeah.
So, for education, I think this is a really, really good tablet. It's 10-inch in size. It's a really, really good tablet. It's really easy to use. It's much cheaper than an iPad.
It's not very big, you know. You can fit it, and it's nice and light as well. You can fit it in your bag.
Well, it is one of the bulkier tablets, but I mean, it's still a tablet. You know, it's still... So, it's got a kickstand, and it's also got a keyboard. And it's got a keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, so... And it's got... The keyboard, like, wraps into a cover. So, I think this would actually be a fantastic tablet for education. And as you said, Kevin, it's got Microsoft Office on it. already. Yeah. And as long as you'd be able to get all of the books online and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And especially in Irish schools, and they're teaching you how to type in computers for like the whole year. But this should help, because also it might be cheaper for schools because they don't have to buy all these computers for people. Yeah. So people can just go out and get whatever tablet for $200, which is a very good price. So it wouldn't put as much.
So, and that's about €160.
Yeah.
Right.
So. And then you have to buy the books, which is a certain amount of money. And then after that, all you have to do is get free updates of those books, which is great.
Yeah.
And also you have Microsoft Office, things like that. So that's really good.
I think this is going to be really good. Now, actually, it's kind of interesting because I was talking to someone there, I think last week, and they were saying that iPads are being rolled out in many schools now. Not in the area that we live in exactly, but kind of around Ireland, that there are schools that are adopting iPads.
I think one school did.
No, there's loads of schools around Ireland.
Like in Galway.
Yeah, there's a few schools in Galway that actually do.
They tried it, like.
Yeah, but so there are schools all around Ireland that are trying this. They're using iPads. It's a little bit, I think it's actually, it works out to be more cost effective in the long term. And what they're doing is they're making you pay a certain amount every year, right? For over the 5 years of secondary education, and to pay back the iPad as well as the online copies of the books. It actually works out to be less, or to be more cost effective, because every year you have to buy new books. It costs hundreds of euro to go and buy all of these new books. So I think that this is going to be really good. And the fact that the Surface tablet is that price, that educational price, that's a fraction of the price of an iPad. And it will do, it's a great tablet. It will do everything that the iPad will do in terms of the education stuff. And I think this could make Windows RT a very popular
tablet
and a very popular operating system. Okay, so I want to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly, ProXPN. So who are ProXPN? Well, ProXPN are a company that provide a VPN service. What is VPN? Well, VPN is a virtual private network. What it does is, when you're normally out on the web, you're kind of open. The web is like a public place. It's like being in a public area. And you've got a public identifier on the web. You've got an IP address. So everything that you do on the web is public knowledge, can be publicly seen. So let's say you wanted to conceal that because, let's say you're doing online banking, you want to be secure, right? What a VPN does is it will create a secure tunnel that prevents people from seeing what you're doing. It masks your identity. And it provides secure. So let's say you're in an open Wi-Fi area, there's no password. It's a very easy place for passwords, email passwords, online banking passwords, all that kind of stuff to be stolen. Very, very easy for someone to intercept that. If you're using a VPN, that's secure. That's going through that tunnel. No one can access that. It's got fantastic 2048-bit encryption with a 500-bit encryption tunnel, 512-bit encryption tunnel. Really, really fantastic. So, Kevin, what kind of features does ProXPN provide?
Well, no longer people who are going to hacking conventions have to buy a completely different computer, because now they can use VPNs such as ProXPN to conceal their identity online.
That is very, very true. Yeah. If you're going to a hacking convention, of course.
So ProXPN provides complete online privacy with a 2048-bit encryption key. And
by the way, that's incredible.
Yeah, and 512-bit encryption tunnel, which is definitely enough for, because it's not like you're going to be on the VPN for a couple of years, which would probably be the amount of time it would take to hack this, which is absolutely incredible. It works with OpenVPN and PPTP on mobile devices. And the great thing is there's no app required. So all you need to do is go up onto your
You can go onto your iPhone, for example. You just go into the settings and you just put in the VPN settings right from the iPhone. No apps required. And you can get your VPN set up very, very easily. Fantastic.
Yeah. And it offers a wide range of servers worldwide in the US, the UK, Asia, and lots more.
That's fantastic.
With advanced controls, allowing you to select programs or ports to anonymously route through Pro XPN's servers.
Right. That's very cool.
That is also very good. And if you have any problems with it, it also has a 24/7 customer support service. Yep.
And I had a little bit of an issue with setting up ProXPN, the ProXPN service at the beginning. Contacted their support. They got back super quick and my problem was sorted instantly. They knew exactly what the problem was. Very straightforward. And I was up flying again with ProXPN. So they are a fantastic, fantastic service and I highly recommend ProXPN. So what can you do to get ProXPN? Well, all you have to do is go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code TATWEE and you can get 20% off not 12 months, but the life of your premium account. That is the offer code TATWEE for 20% off the life of your premium account. A fantastic, fantastic deal. And I really, really do want to thank ProXPN for supporting this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. Thank you, ProXPN. Okay, I just looked over to my left. I saw, let me just move this camera. What is that huge black box? Let me go over to this thing. That is a huge black box. So what is that, Kevin?
It is a server. It's for servers. It's a server.
So it's a server closet, basically.
Yeah.
It's this huge server closet.
No other word to describe it.
And yeah, I recently got that today, actually. And I'm looking at it. I'm going, what am I going to do with this? So basically, I have been, and I don't know if you've heard, but I think I mentioned this last week. I've set up a media server. I've got a lot of equipment in the studio. So, you know, I kind of need somewhere to put all that stuff. So I decided, you know, this thing might do the job. And then now I'm looking at it and I'm going, where am I going to put this thing?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe over there. It'd be a really tight fit.
Let's move everything here over slightly.
quite a lot. It would be pretty tight. You know, it's pretty cool though. It's got this really cool kind of a Adora system. It's actually like an APC kind of a server rack for APC backups, which I actually do have an APC backup. I love it.
Try and lift it up there.
Yeah, it's like got this huge battery in it.
Yeah,
but
so it's really heavy.
So I could put servers in this thing. I could put my compressor limiter gate. It supports 19-inch racks. So that's what I'm basically going to be doing. So after the show today, well, basically tomorrow morning, I will start ripping apart the studio and putting everything in this server rack once I find out where I'm going to put this thing. Huge. So yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. And it's going to be interesting to see how this thing works out. How's the headphones going there, Kevin? I think that's that's the connector. If you put it in the other port, is that better or worse?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, let me just keep that in there. Okay, so we're having really bad audio issues, by the way, today. It's Kevin's audio cable that's going weird.
Everything wrong with me.
Yeah, you're just, no one likes you. Okay, I want to move on to talk about the Tesla Model S. Now, the Tesla Model S is a really cool electric car. And electric cars are becoming really, really popular now. But however, I haven't really been a big believer in electric cars, mostly because they use lithium-ion batteries. And these lithium ion, the lithium that's in these batteries, extremely harmful chemical. Harmful chemical for the environment. So the thing is, you might think you're being green, zero emissions, but actually the lithium chemical is a very harmful chemical to the environment. So if you have batteries with lithium ion batteries, for example, and you have to put them to waste, I mean, where are they going to go? So they have to dispose of that lithium chemical, and that's very harmful to the environment. So, and the other thing is, lithium ion batteries, as you may know from your mobile phones, so many mobile devices now have lithium ion batteries. All Apple products, laptops, computers, and cars have these lithium ion batteries. And you might realize that after a few years, your battery starts degrading quite a lot. You're getting less and less less and less time out of your battery. That's because lithium ion batteries degrade over time. And that will happen the exact same way in an electric car. So after 2-3 years, you're going to have to replace your lithium ion battery pack. Those things are really expensive. So I haven't really been a believer in electric cars, because I think in some ways, you're helping the environment because you're letting off zero emissions. But in other ways, if you just buy a diesel car that has less emissions than a petrol car, I think you'd be doing better to the environment than by using an electric car because of the lithium ion batteries in them. And also, you'd be saving a little bit more money on... Well, I mean, electricity is much more... It's much cheaper than oil or diesel. But yeah. Convenience. The other thing with electric cars is I think you can only get about 100 miles out of one of these electric cars, and with any electric car. And that's because the lithium-ion batteries weigh so much. So let's say you wanted to... you had a car that did 50 miles. Well, the obvious thing to do is to add more batteries to it to give it more mileage. But more batteries adds more weight. So yeah. You can get it up to about 100 miles. Once you start adding more batteries after that, it will just add weight to the car, add extra weight. So you're still going to get 100 miles out of the car. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. So right now, the technology... I think we need more efficient battery technology to get there.
Yeah.
Right? I think that electric cars aren't quite there yet because they're still using lithium-ion technology, which is not ideal. However, Tesla, by the way, they're a car company. They do exclusively electric cars. They came out with their Model S car last year. An absolute amazing car. It looks stunning, right? It's like a luxury sports saloon. It's like every single car you could think of, except in a state car. It's luxury, so it's like a luxury saloon. It's sporty, and it's saloony. So, so there you go. Yeah, it's luxury, it's big, spacious saloon, and it's sporty, which is amazing. And with these electric motors, they got so much torque. The power is just consistent, you know, and you can get much more power out of the car your speeds are faster. These things rev up to 15, 16, 17, even 18,000 RPM, which is amazing. So, and they have no gears, no gearbox. It's just direct go. So Tesla came out with their Model S. Now Tesla are coming out with this really, really cool kind of a feature. So what Tesla have at the moment, and they don't have any in Ireland, it's just kind of California mostly now, they have their supercharging stations. So they're, I think, 240 volts, which charges the car much faster. Because in the US, they have 115 volts power. So electric cars charge much slower. Whereas in Europe, we all have 240 volts. Mm. But what they do is they convert into 240 volts, and they can get really fast charging times. What I mean by really fast is, like, I think 3 to 4 hours or something. So, you know, it's still, I mean, you'd want to leave the car there, go off, do something else, and then come back. But now what Tesla have done is they have decided they're going to put out in these supercharging stations an option to swap out the battery pack. So the battery pack is actually on the bottom of the car. You can roll up to this ramp thing, and from it'll take the battery pack from underneath the car and swap it with a new one in about, I think it's less than 95 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is a great option. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, they had another car, an actual, like, petrol. No, yeah. I think, yeah, it was petrol. And anyway, it was an Audi.
Yeah.
That they had. And they were filling up the video. Audi. Yeah, in the video. They had an Audi, and then they had the electric car, and the electric car was done way faster than the Audi. And then it went off stage, and another one came on,
Two.
Yeah, but two we were sort of thinking to ourselves, hold on a second. It was
10 gallons
per minute.
What the fuel pump was pumping into the tank. So we figured, okay, a normal car tank in Europe is about 70 liters. So that's about how many gallons? 30 gallons or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So...
No, it's a bit less than that.
It's a bit less than that. Yeah, it's about... Let me actually do the math. But anyway, continue on with what you're saying there.
So, and then we were saying... Okay, wait, this is, so 3 minutes is gone, and then it went to like almost 4 minutes to fill up the car, so...
18 gallons, by the way.
18 gallons.
So 70 litres is 18 gallons.
Yeah, so it was almost 4 minutes to fill the car up full. So we were saying, hold on a second.
What size are their tanks? I think that's
like 40 gallons, which is...
152 gallons, yeah. Or 152 liters. So the fuel tank in that car was 152 liters.
Something like
that's
that.
That's about what a truck has.
Yeah. It's
so
crazy.
There might have been a bit of a mistake there.
Yeah.
I think it was. It probably wasn't putting out 10 gallons per minute, because if it was putting out 10 gallons per minute, that's 40 gallons in the 4 minutes, and they filled up the two, or they swapped the batteries in the two cars in 4 minutes. That's how long it took for the petrol car to fill up.
But even then, it is still pretty impressive, because
it's still really impressive. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problem waiting 5 minutes for something like that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, swap a battery pack out of a car. It's pretty amazing.
But it looks really cool, because what they do is they come up from the bottom, they screw out all the screws, they take it out.
Yeah.
They move to the side, they bring down the battery, and they put another one up, and they bring back, put in the screws. And the way it works is it moves the car into place so that, basically the machine knows exactly where those screws are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be so precise and move it right into position.
Yeah. So in terms of pricing, normally when a Tesla customer goes into a supercharging station to charge their car, it's free. They can charge their car for free.
Yeah.
Which really saves a lot of money. But of course, they're paying, I think, $100,000 for the car. So it's quite an expensive car. But now you can do the battery swap. That costs a little bit of money, I think, because what you're doing is you're actually renting the batteries. Battery packs.
Yeah.
So in order to do the battery swap, you just pay a little bit of money, just do the battery swap. So you can either do the battery swap, pay a little bit of money, or just charge the current battery for free. So that's the current options. So Kevin, I would like to hear what your opinion on electric cars and maybe a bit about the Model S as well. What's your opinion on them? I already expressed my opinion on electric cars, how I think they're not really there, but what's your opinion on them?
I feel the reason people aren't trying to switch over to electric cars. Now, there are some people who are sort of like, oh, we have to save energy, all this. But most people are sort of like, well, what's the point? You know, it's so much easier just to get a car, you know. So we'll just get a car. You know, it's not going to be much of a difference. So anyway, I was watching a video recently, and there was an American guy and there was a Swedish guy. And the guy from Sweden was like, oh, you see, we have petrol cars because fuel's really cheap over here.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he's like, so this is how much it is, such and such an amount of dollars. And then your man is like, wait, what? That's more expensive than what it is over here. I thought our fuel was cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or our fuel is expensive, you know? And so, like, in Ireland, fuel is pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's heavily taxed, you see.
Yeah.
So,
like, I think what we should be doing is trying to bring down the cost in electric cars while improving the technology, like, for fuel. And trying just maybe to increase slightly more on normal fuel. Just to get, you know, just to encourage people to move over to electric cars.
But you see, I don't agree in encouraging people to move over to electric cars. I mean, Ireland now, the ESB has launched a huge campaign. Subsidies, if you have an electric car, they're really trying to promote electric vehicles. So what I think is, instead of dwelling on electric cars, by the way, electric cars have been around for over 100 years. 100 years ago,
yeah,
we were having the same conversation. We were like, people were sitting down and they were thinking, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to go with electric cars or gasoline cars? So, or petrol cars or diesel cars. They went with petrol because it was
more efficient,
right? Now, they were using lead batteries back then. And here we are 100 years later, and we're discussing the same thing. There were electric cars back then 100 years ago.
Now, at the same time, while I'm saying that, you know, electric cars, you know, the batteries, as you said, are pretty bad. And also, you're not really...
So...
Like, where's that power coming from? You're burning oil and fossil fuels anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they might be slightly less because there's, you know, green things like... wind turbines, and you can't exactly put a wind turbine on top of your car.
Right, so instead of focusing on electric power or electric-powered cars...
We should be looking into other...
Alternative solutions. So, I've seen hydrogen cars. I'm a huge believer in hydrogen fuel cells. I love the idea of hydrogen fuel cells.
Michael, what if hydrogen runs out?
Yeah, well, hydrogen, now correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but I think it is the most abundant source, or the most abundant material in the universe.
So, why are we not looking as much as hydrogen,
hydrogen. Okay, so the biggest issue, so I think we should put more energy into looking into hydrogen fuel cells and all that. But I think the technology for hydrogen definitely isn't there. There are very few... hydrogen cars, and I've been doing research on this. The reason why is, well, first of all, the cars are worth millions. Yeah. So obviously a normal person wouldn't be able to buy that car yet. But over time, as we develop, as we do more research and we do more research on how to use hydrogen as a fuel, the price will come down because we will figure out how to bring the price down and stuff like that. You know, over time, it was the same. Electric cars were super expensive. They were millions at the beginning. But now, you can buy an electric car for basically the same price as a normal car with subsidies. So, with hydrogen, the biggest issue is... Well, there's a few issues. First of all, it's a highly flammable fuel. But, hang on. We have the same issue with petrol, right? I mean, highly flammable fuel, petrol. So, that's not too big of an issue, the fact that hydrogen is highly flammable. The other big issue is trying to extract the hydrogen from the atmosphere, from air.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult. There's a very lengthy process to that. So it's like water. It's like distilling water with this... There's a few ways of distilling water. You can use this huge apparatus, or you can just evaporate the water and then... extracting salt from water is what I mean. So you can use a special apparatus to basically vaporize the water and bring it back in, or you can just evaporate it and then turn it into a gas and then turn it back into a liquid again, very, very easily, right? So what right now with hydrogen?
Wait, what? That's exactly
no. There's a special. It's distillation. You know, distillation, right?
Yeah.
So you can either use distillation or you, there's a very, that's the very complex way of extracting salt from water. Or you can, Kevin's looking at me cross-eyed here. Or you can, what they do now in a mass scale is they have this huge warehouse, right? With glass, with a glass, a cold glass roof. They got the water, they heat up the water, it evaporates, hits off the glass roof, and then trickles down, and you got fresh water. And that's huge. It's way more cost-effective than setting up your apparatus for distillation and all that kind of stuff, right? And it's way more cost-effective. So with hydrogen right now, we're at the stage of distillation. We have not discovered the mass, cheap way of extracting hydrogen.
Yeah. So, well, you're...
And that was a really bad example. Just ignore what I said, basically, because terrible.
Well, basically what you're trying to... Well, that is still distillation, but you're saying on, like, a massive scale.
Yes.
Where you have, like, massive warehouses.
It is still distillation, yes. But what I mean is the massive scale version of it. So, we haven't figured that out yet, and we haven't figured out how to do it cheaply.
So, and once we get that done, then we can move on to extracting hydrogen, and so, and then hydrogen cars.
Right, so... And once we figure that out, the only thing, the only energy that will be needed is to extract the hydrogen, right? Which is far less than what it takes to charge up an electric car, right? And also, it's not harmful to the environment. It's part of the environment.
And
so,
you can go way longer distances.
Yeah, I think, exactly, way longer distances. I think that hydrogen is the future and that we should be looking at that. And for the moment, everybody just use diesels.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you want, you can go buy a car powered by poop.
I have seen those. They're pretty smelly. Yeah, there's like, okay.
If you're really into the environment,
there, yeah, you can. There's methane. Methane is actually quite a good source of. It's pretty good for. It's a pretty good fuel.
Just get one of your.
A little
friends.
Bit inefficient, but.
Just get one of your friends. To sit
no,
down.
Okay, no, no. This is not. This is a podcast,
this,
Kevin.
This is a clean technology podcast.
It's clean technology, but not a dirty one. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. So methane and hydrogen.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should be going towards. But there you go. Okay, I want to go on to the last story for today, which is a robot that flies like a bird, Kevin.
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, we've always sort of looked at robots to be kind of a feature and things. And a lot of...
I've also looked at birds quite a lot.
Yeah. And,
they're very, very interesting creatures.
Yeah. And a lot of robots have been inspired by...
Animals.
So, right. For example, humanoid robots.
Or robotic arms, which is just basically like the arm part of a human.
Yeah. Or any other ones of those.
Yeah.
So, it's very difficult to make a robot that can fly, but be very efficient as well. So, these guys decided to make a robot that is basically the same as a bird, like it flaps its wings exactly like a bird, but would still be very, very efficient. So, the goal was to be strong, powerful, and lightweight, which they... and it can also fly indoors, which they completed
amazing.
With very good success. It's called SmartBird, and the way it works is it has one motor on the inside and has one gear spinning around. And they use, I think it was carbon fiber for the main body
right. And
for the wings.
It was like really light.
Yeah, and it's, it was like 90 grams. Or something like
flipping
that.
Hell.
It's like really, really, really light now. And along with aerodynamics and the mechanism inside to move the wings, because it's a split wing, so there's one part and then there's the other part. So when it's going up, you can bend the wing, and then when the wing is going down, you can stretch it out and bring it down. So you get more lift.
Right.
And this actually consumes only 25 watts of takeoff. And 16 to 18 watts during flight, which is nothing.
So this was shown as a TED Talk.
Yeah.
And they flew the bird inside in the convention center. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I was looking at this bird flying around. It had this exact same movement. So he was saying that, so the downstroke is for lift and the upstroke is for speed. There's something like that. There's
The high part of the wing, which the high part of the wing is for lift, and then the low part of the wing is for propulsion.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, unfortunately, I can't show it to you. I can't show you the video because of technical issues, of course. but what I will do is I'll say, I will. I'm just making the link right now. Let me see here. Hang on a second. Okay, so if you go to talksabouttech.com/robot-that-flies-like-a-bird, I'm making this as we go along. Then you will be able, it'll just redirect you to the TED Talk, and you will be able to see
video.
See the video. Thank you for finishing my sentence. It's hard to do two things at once, you know.
Yeah.
But there you go. So I just created it there. I'll just make sure that it works. And you can go to talksabouttech.com/robot-that-flies-like-a-bird. I'll also put the link in the show notes to this episode if you want to after the fact. But yeah, the video is playing perfectly there. So there you go. I highly recommend you look at this video. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've never seen something like that. And it's a huge bird too. It's like,
yeah, it's massive.
It's the size of a human. It's not like your normal size bird.
It's probably
about the size of this table. Almost.
It's based on a seagull.
A huge seagull.
Like a massive seagull.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing.
And this just shows you how, UAVs that the US are using to spy on all the people, now they can be using birds. So
it just looks like a normal bird, except
spying on you. If you see a bird, it might be a robot.
They're spying on you. You know how they always say that birds are just spying on you? Well, this could actually be a robotic bird that could spy on you. Well, there you go. So
it just shows how robotics is taking a massive leap forward into flight, different things like that.
Indeed.
So we could be seeing robots that make your lunch every day for you, if you want that. It's very soon. Or boxing robots.
Oh, that would not be good. Yeah, we'd be beaten up by robots. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a bit scary sometimes because you're thinking, God, these robots are getting too powerful. What if they get out of hand?
Well,
I mean, there's been some close calls, people working on very powerful robots, the robots get out of hand, or the robots, you know, they just bug in the program or something, they start hitting the person.
Stabbing them with knives and everything, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
No, what it is actually, do you ever think of that, you know, that whole robot take over the world thing?
No, not really.
I have. I'm preparing for it.
It's not a zombie apocalypse. It's a robot apocalypse. Should be thinking about that. Don't be preparing for zombies. Be preparing for robots. It's going to be sooner than you think. Yeah. They should make a movie about that. Oh, wait, they already have. It's called iRobot.
It's called Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, basically every movie. Okay, so, there you go. I wanted to talk about my iOS 7 full review because last week it was like really, really fast, get through the stuff as fast as I can. I didn't really dwell too much on iOS 7 or anything. I have been using iOS 7 now for 2 weeks, so I've got a really good experience with iOS 7. And it's not like it's going to be a review, but it's going to be like features, talking about features, what I like about the features and what I think of the OS. Of course, it's in beta, and I will take that into account. I will not talk, and I will not judge the Kevin's eating a sweet. I will not judge the operating system based on its bugs, and I will not, because it's obviously a beta. But I will just talk about some of the features.
Acknowledge me.
Okay, stop. I will talk about the features like Control Center and some really, really cool new features inside in iOS 7. So I will talk about that next week, but unfortunately, I didn't get that much time this week. You know, we're actually on time. We're running just into an hour now for once. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's a record for us because normally we just talk about nothing for an hour. Well, an hour and a half mostly. So there you go. Okay, that pretty much wraps up another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. I'm going to get the intro right this time. Oh, yeah. I pressed the right button this time. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. You can follow me and the network on Twitter at TalksAboutTech1. You can also email me, michael@talksabouttech.com. My Google Plus account is also Michael McAndrews. Just my Google Plus account is pretty straightforward. I'm really liking Google Plus communities. This is my new Google Plus thing, is communities. There's a podcasting huge podcasting community out there now. I really like it. Kevin McAndrew, thank you very much for joining me for another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. It was a great episode, as always. Anything you want to promote? Apart from your name.
Really. Well, hopefully my name will go down in history someday.
Someday.
Looking forward to that day. I'd like to thank my parents and Michael for helping me.
Mostly me. Thank you very much for watching or listening. I'll see you next week.